Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. And today we're pleased to have the Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture from the great state of North Carolina, Steve Troxer. Mr. Troxer, Commissioner Troxer, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity. Right. This is right down my alley.
So we're really thrilled to be able to talk to you. You have been in office for, I think, four terms now. Mm-hmm. And along the way, you've played and become a very influential commissioner, especially at the national level and with the National Association of the State Departments of Agriculture, and have led that in the Nutrition Committee, even received an outstanding award as an advocate of safety and nutrition in the country. So you're a model program as far as states go, and definitely as far as commissioners go. So thanks again for joining us. And starting with that insight, what do you see now as the biggest challenges in North Carolina in particular and across the country when it comes to agriculture?
Well, you know, one of the things that we are constantly vigilant about in North Carolina is the disappearance of farmland. We have a Farmland Preservation Trust Fund at the Department of Ag, and our goal is to give people an opportunity to participate in escalating real estate values that are out there right now, but also keep that farm and farming either for a term or into perpetuity. Yeah. So that's something that if you're a developing state like North Carolina is, that you've always got to be vigilant about. And of course, all agricultural policy affects farmers.
Yeah. You know, nationally and in some states, it's a great concern on the number of farmers that are getting out of farming. And so how do you feel about that? Is there a solution to that?
Well, my definition of sustainability is being able to stay on the farm no matter what the source of income is, and that's what we try to work toward in North Carolina with the diversity that we have, whether it be farmers that grow thousands of acres of row crops, or they grow crops for export markets. But also, we've got a big local program here in North Carolina that involves the local production of fresh fruits and vegetables and meats and organics also. So we've got a big tent, and we want everybody to have that opportunity to make a living on the farm.
Right. So nationally, especially with a concern of health care, health issues, and the role that nutrition plays in healthcare, there's been this shifting awareness away from supporting and focusing on commodity crops and making a transition to include specialty crops, especially those that are nutrient dense and that are phytonutrient dense. But North Carolina in particular is really one of the top five states growing some of those specialty crops. And I think you introduced a special program focused on specialty crops in North Carolina that could be a model for most other states. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we're an agricultural economy in transition right now. For a lot of years, flue-cured tobacco and burley tobacco were the staple, especially for smaller farmers. That is diminishing to the point that we have been, actively looking at that transition for some time now. Specialty crops is a natural fit for North Carolina with the diversity of soils and climates that we have. But also, you know, the transportation that we have available to us, where we sit in relationship to the population east of the Mississippi. So we've got a lot of things that we can do. It's just a matter of developing the markets and the expertise to grow these crops. And one thing that we lean on in North Carolina is agricultural research. We've got probably a unique situation where the land-grant universities, NC State, A&T State University, and the Department of Ag partner in ag research. What I know is that with the mouths that we've got to feed, they say by the year 2050, if we sit on our laurels and we're not able to produce that food, I've got a saying that hungry people are mean people. And I've seen that worldwide. So agricultural research is what's going to carry us forward, and nutritional research. Right. Anytime that we can have a more nutritious product to feed the populations, then certainly it probably means that we don't have to have as much of it. If we have a product that is got a better shelf life, then it certainly means we're not wasting as much food. So that research is key.
Right, right. And so that's another model program that we've been impressed with in North Carolina, is not only the commitment to research and the support of research, but also your education and extension programs across the state, where you're providing support for the farming community as well as the public. Tell us a little bit about that. Why did you create that extension service program, and how do you feel about how effective it's working today?
Well, you know, the extension service is it serves a unique role. Any research that we do in areas of agriculture is just a book on the shelf unless it gets to the farm level. So extension in North Carolina has always been that arm, that hand that reached out with the latest information so that the farmer can take advantage of it. And we work hand in hand with the extension service. In fact, in North Carolina, that a lot of people don't know that, you know, that there's a line between extension and the department and vice versa. So we partnerships are the key, and that's one of those partnerships that we have.
Yeah, great. Let's move a little bit to a topic that has national attention, and I don't think that many of us, including myself, understand how it cascades down at the state level. And you're a pretty influential guy in agricultural circles around the world, in fact. But the Farm Bill. So the Farm Bill has its origins to 1933, as it was known then as the Agricultural Assistance Act, and today it's grown, it has significant funds, and it's really making a difference to help people in a lot of different areas, from food, nutrition, to farming. But how do you feel about the national farm bill these days? And tell us a little bit about how that cascades into the state.
Well, you know, passing a national farm bill now, I think we have seen, is becoming more and more difficult, and the actual farm end of it is like 10 or 12, 15%, and the rest of it is food and nutrition. But, you know, I'm still of the opinion that we have to have these partnerships and coalitions to be able to have a farm bill. We in the department are always particularly interested in the food that will be delivered through USDA and the Department of Defense, because we are the arm in North Carolina that distributes that food to food banks, to the different cafeterias across the state. So that's one part of it that we're always interested in. But if you think about it, the Farm Bill sets the framework for what's going to be produced, particularly in risk management. You know, what kind of risk management tools will we have in North Carolina and across the nation? But it sets the framework for what's going to be grown, in some ways what the price is going to be of that commodity. And that's stability. And without that stability, then farmers really are sitting kind of in the mud. They're stuck in the mud. So, you know, that it was quite frustrating to see that, you know, it took so long to pass that farm bill. I think from the start to finish, probably some 18 months, right, with a lot of starts and stops along the way. So, but, you know, it's typical of the what's going on in the United States. You know, when you've got less than 2% of the people involved in production and agriculture, it's awfully hard to move that other 98% and educate them as to the importance of the Farm Bill.
Right. Now, at the national level of the bill, there's been estimated, as I understand it, less than 1% of the funds available through the Farm Bill on specialty crops. Yet in North Carolina, you're really supporting specialty crops at a much higher level than would be described by the national bill. How did that happen? Did you guys just realize we got to make a commitment and you did it?
You know, I think it was a lot of us have had the vision that specialty crops are going to be the future of agriculture in North Carolina. And quite frankly, at the national level, that we had a group of Southern commissioners that decided that in a farm bill, there needed to be some allotments for money for specialty crops. And we do have those block grants that come to the states now that we administer at the Department of Agriculture. So it's about developing markets for specialty crop, doing research for specialty crops, and that is, you know, that's absolutely needed. I was tickled that the level stayed at 85 billion that we had seen before, but there's much more that could be done if the funds were available.
Yeah, right. Interesting. So in the state of North Carolina, I know that the Farm Bill funds probably get dispersed to different departments. So there's the Department of Agriculture, and then there's the Department of Health and Human Services. Are the funds that trickle down from the federal level split, or is it all managed through the Department of Agriculture?
No, they are split. The SNAP programs and the those type of programs are the Health and Human Services agency. Specialty crops, of course, we do. But then the partnerships that we have with the Department of Agriculture for things like meat and poultry inspection, that one partnership, NAS. We've had a partnership with NAS for over 100 years in the Department of Ag, but commodity grading, disaster relief, that all comes through the Department of Ag. Yeah. So the Farm Bill is very important to the Department of Agriculture in North Carolina.
Right. And so programs like school lunch programs you mentioned SNAP and WIC, is that all through the Department of Health?
No, there is a division there. I'm very proud of the Farm to School program that we have in North Carolina. We're unique in some ways because the Department of Agriculture delivers the food to the school cafeterias and feeding institutions across the state. So we've got that fleet of tractor trailers distribution, so we can actually go. We have a cooperative of farmers that provide the food, the farm to school food. So within 2 days' time, we can pick the food up at the farm level and move it to the school cafeteria for, nutritious fresh fruits and vegetables. And I'm of the opinion that if we start these children on, in the beginning with good eating habits, fresh fruits and vegetables, try to prevent some of the obesity, then probably that's going to carry on to the adult. So we tried to do that partnering with our cafeteria folks across the state, the Child Nutritionist Association. So
that's great.
It's a great program. It benefits the farmer. It's a market for their goods, but it also benefits the children in North Carolina with good nutrition.
Right. Yeah, so we've had a longstanding interest in working with community health centers and community health clinics and trying to deliver increased awareness of nutrition, better nutrition education. But do you have any suggestions or recommendations on how professional healthcare providers or nutritionists and practitioners might get involved to help support these important programs?
Well, I think one thing is it's where the rubber meets the road. The child nutrition directors across North Carolina have been very receptive to the Farm to School program. I think 85 of 100 counties are now participating in that.
That's great.
So there's always ways to get down to where you can make a difference, and this is where we chose to make that difference in the school cafeterias.
That's fantastic. What a great model. You hear a lot of communities trying to figure it out, but they haven't figured out specialty crops yet, and they haven't figured out Farm to School. So, congratulations. It's really impressive. So, no discussion with a commissioner of agriculture would be complete without talking about the part of the Farm Bill that includes attention toward hemp. Tell us a little bit about what North Carolina is doing within the Farm Bill and what opportunities at the federal level are cascading down to the state to hemp, and what concerns you about that opportunity at the same time that you want to look out for.
A couple of years ago, we set out to build a gold standard program in North Carolina for the production of industrial hemp and the products that come from that. We set up a hemp commission here in North Carolina that's appointed by myself, the president pro tem of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House and the governor, and it's a varied commission with different expertise on there. Everything from the fiber production to marketing, even law enforcement. We put law enforcement on the commission for a reason, and that is born out to be a very good reason. But it's the wild, wild west out there. And we think that there's got to be a regulatory framework, especially for the production of CBD oils and hemp products. And without it, I don't think the public can be assured they're getting what they think they're getting. The public also needs to have the ability to know that this is a product produced in a way that is safe for human consumption. we have seen some pretty bad atrocities as far as the production of CBD oil in North Carolina, and we've gone to the state legislature to give my Food and Drug Division the regulatory authority over the production of CBD. We also are asking for some things to help us do that, they have agreed to extend the Hemp Commission for another couple years until we get on our feet. We think we can develop this gold standard program, and it would be nice if FDA took complete oversight of it, and it was, overall, right. Not state to state. The problem right now, we had a lady from North Carolina that had purchased CBD oil here in North Carolina for some health benefits, traveled to Florida, and was actually arrested in Florida for the possession of the CBD. Wow. And spent, I think, like 20 hours in jail for something that's illegal here. So this needs to be a national framework. And we're hopeful that some of the things that we're going to lead with in North Carolina will become a national framework that FDA will pick up. Right. And it still remains to be seen what USDA is going to come out when they do their rulemaking on how these programs have to be run. We think with what we did with the pilot program here in North Carolina, with a few tweaks, it will be, in good shape.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, you brought up the story, which is kind of an interesting issue that everybody I know in our practitioner and healthcare world are concerned about, is that the 2018 Farm Bill Act at the federal level basically approved the use of hemp within limitations. For example, can't have more than 0.3% THC. But is the FDA and law enforcement aligned on the definitions? Like in theory, I don't think the woman should have been detained for 20 hours because it was okay. But what needs to be fixed so those things don't happen in the future?
Well, I think everything, clarity. When people have clarity, they know what the law is, then most of the time they're going to do their best to obey the law, and that clarity is not there now. Uh-huh. We're asking the FDA for clarity on, addition of CBD into food. By definition right now, if you do that, it's adulterated food, and supposedly it's not supposed to be on the shelf, but it is. We know it is.
Right.
So some states have taken the regulatory action to take these products off the shelf. I think five have, at last count, had done that. We are trying to do our regulation with education here in North Carolina first. We've sent letters out to establishments that we know have the food products with CBD in them. 2 weeks ago, we did a survey. We did 100 random sample surveys across the state to see what's on the shelf, and also do lab testing to see what the actual level of CBD is in the oil. Right. And I think most folks understand that there are people out there that will take advantage. Maybe the level's not what it's supposed to be. So there's just need for a framework, a regulatory framework. I think what we're going to do in the Farm Act in North Carolina will probably be satisfactory. One of the things that's going to be very controversial, that you talked about law enforcement, law enforcement has come to us and the legislature and said there's no way for us to distinguish smokable hemp products and marijuana.
Yeah.
So I think what I've seen in the legislation is we're going to prohibit the sale of smokable hemp products in North Carolina until there is a rapid test that law enforcement can use, and I think that's a reasonable approach.
Right.
We think we're only months away from that test being available, but we're doing our best to walk that line between the regulatory and the building of an industry in North Carolina.
Yeah, right. That's great. The one thing that we've noticed too is in the state and through your department, you're supporting and actively part of and conducting research on hemp, looking at different strains, and there's something like 30 different strains or more that your teams are specifically looking at and trying to better understand all these issues to help clarify what are the issues, what are the opportunities, what are the benefits. That's pretty unique. There aren't a lot of states that are actively leading the front on the future of what hemp could be from a research, education, and regulatory point of view.
You know, one of the things that we believe that's got to be part of a successful hemp program in the in agriculture is a certified seed program. The one thing that we in the department don't want to do is to go out and do the testing on industrial hemp and it come back over 0.3, right. And then the whole field's got to be destroyed. So a certified seed program where we know what the CBD level is, what the THC level is, so that we avoid some of these pitfalls. And about 10% of the samples that we pulled last year in North Carolina came back hot for THC and had to be destroyed. So that in itself is a cornerstone, I think, of a successful program, and certainly research. There is so little research that has been done on CBD oil, on it being an additive in foods. The cultivars, we saw last year having to get cultivars and seed from all over the world that they'll sign a statement that the level of THC is less than 0.3, but that doesn't mean it is.
It is, that's always the case, right? Well, Commissioner, thanks very much. I know you're really incredibly busy, and thanks very much for the privilege of your time and talking to us and kind of laying out both your vision and the impact that you're having within the state, but as important, maybe even more importantly, the model you've created for agriculture departments and collaborations with businesses and the community to make a difference in health and in farming. So, Commissioner Troxler, thanks very much for your time today.
And we certainly are proud to have you folks here, and I can guarantee you that we're going to do everything in our power to help make you successful.
Awesome. We appreciate it. Thanks.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevier, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.